for working with our kids every Wednesday night. Such a blessing. They're learning so many valuable truths that will be planted in their hearts that would no doubt help them in years to come. So let's give our leaders of our patch a hand. A couple of things before we get into the message tonight. I would like to ask you to pray. We're going to be having our insurance company come out in the morning at 9 o'clock. And they'll be walking through the property with one of our public adjusters as well as a building inspector. And so we're hoping to get things to come to a conclusion pretty soon. And so just ask that you would pray everything go well in the morning at 9 o'clock. And so let's keep that a matter of prayer. Okay. I know it would be a blessing to be able to get something accomplished tomorrow. And so it's been a long drawn out process, but we know the Lord is in control. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. One other thing I was going to mention, next month we're going to be having our annual business meeting. I'm going to try to get a letter out in the next week or so. Try to give just a brief report of where we are in preparation for our meeting coming up. And so just encourage you to pray for our church. And as I mentioned earlier, let's continue to be faithful. This has been a tough year for our church in many respects, but God has been faithful, and so we need to be faithful. And so let's continue to be faithful to the Lord. I know the Lord will take care of us. We just need to pray for our church, pray for our, as we get ready to enter a new year. And I know the Lord's not done with Bible Baptist Church, and there's a lot of work to be done, and the Lord's coming back. And so we don't want to be found unfaithful. We want the Lord to find us faithful. Tonight I'm going to be preaching on the discipline of daily rejoicing in the Lord. And here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, a pretty familiar verse where Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. You know, this truth tonight is a very timely and much needed truth, especially in the day and time in which we live. I believe that even in our churches, we can lose the joy of the Lord. You know, coming this time of the year with the Christmas holidays, which are meant to be a joyful celebration of Christ coming into this world to be our Savior, sometimes it can become a depressing time for people. Sometimes it can be stressful, and it's not a joyful time like it should be. And I want to encourage you tonight in this area of our Christian life, because I believe that this is essential for our spiritual passion, for us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And in this verse, the word rejoice is the verb, and it's imperative, and it's used twice. And so being in the imperative, Paul is commanding us to make a choice to rejoice in the Lord. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask the Lord's blessing on this time together. Our Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. We thank you for your salvation. And we thank you, Lord, for your continued presence with us as your people. Lord, no matter what we go through in life, we're thankful, Lord, that you are not only present with us, but Lord, you are ordering our steps. And Lord, we're thankful that you are in control. And Lord, you're working out your plan and your purpose in our lives. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to take heart to this admonition given by the Apostle Paul to rejoice in the Lord always. Lord, I know that many times we as Christians, we can sometimes lose our joy in the Lord because of our circumstances and because of other things in our lives. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as I preach this message, Lord, that you might use it to help your people to grow, Lord, to help us in our spiritual passion and love for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you think about it, the spiritual passion or the rejoicing in the Lord is not only essential to our spiritual passion in the Lord, but it's essential for our physical health as well. You know, I was reading in Proverbs in chapter 15, if you want to turn over there, I want to just read a couple of verses over in Proverbs. And it's very interesting what the Bible has to say about joy and rejoicing and being glad in the Lord. In Proverbs 15, in verse 13, he says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken." You know, many Christians' spirit is broken. You can see how important it is to have a merry heart. Look in chapter 17, verse 22 in Proverbs. Chapter 17, verse 22. He says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." So here he tells us that a merry, a joyful heart, it's like medicine. It's good for our physical well-being. I was reading just a few quotes from medical science that proves exactly what the Bible teaches about this. And laughter, for example, stimulates circulation in our body. It stimulates our blood circulation. It relieves tension. It relieves stress. Even releases natural pain relievers in the body called endorphins. And so laughing and being joyful has a very, very positive effect on our body and our health. According to Dr. Michael Miller, MD, he said, "We don't know yet why laughing protects the heart, but we know that mental stress is associated with the impairment of the protective barrier lining our blood vessels. And this can cause a series of inflammatory reactions that lead to fat and cholesterol buildup and ultimately to a heart attack." You know, medical science tells us that just stress alone can lead to health problems like heart attack, cholesterol, and other things. On the medical benefit of laughter, Dr. Shields, MD, said, "Deep diaphragmatic breathing stimulates the cleansing of the lymph system by creating a vacuum effect which pulls the lymph through the bloodstream. This increases the rate of toxic elimination by as much as 15 times the normal rate." And so it's interesting that medical science backs up what the Bible says. Solomon, years and years ago, wisest man to live, God gave him wisdom to speak about a merry heart doth good like a medicine. It is good for us to rejoice in the Lord. It will be good for your physical health to rejoice in the Lord, to laugh, to be happy in the Lord, to be joyful in the Lord, to be rejoicing in Him. And not only will it help you physically, but it will help your spiritual life. It's very, very important for your spiritual life to rejoice in the Lord always. You know, when Christ came into this world, if you'll go back to Luke chapter 2, we were in Luke's gospel this morning, but I want to point out a couple of verses that we did not read this morning. In Luke chapter 2, when the angel of the Lord came to the shepherds with with that message there in the fields by night. In verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I want you to notice at the very beginning of the ministry of Christ, when he came into this world, when he was born in this world, that the angel of the Lord said that, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Jesus came into the world to bring us joy. Not just joy, but great joy. Great joy in salvation. When we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, he gives us his joy. Isn't that exciting? I mean, some Christians, you wonder if they have that joy. I mean, you wonder by their expression, their countenance. You know, the Bible tells us, as we read in Proverbs, about our countenance and how that it is affected by what's in our heart, whether we have joy or whether we have sorrow. It will show up in our expression, in our countenance, in our face. And we of all people in the world, we should have joy in our lives. We should have the joy of the Lord. Amen. And you know, before Jesus Christ left this earth to go back to his Father in heaven, to his disciples, if you'll turn to John 15, I want you to notice this, that Jesus came into the world to bring great joy, but notice what he said at the end of his earthly ministry. Notice what he says to his disciples in John 15. I want you to look in verse 9. He said, "As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Amen. You know, at the end of his ministry, Jesus said, "Here's something I want you to know. Something that's so important." And he said, "I want my joy to remain in you." He had already given them his joy. And he said, "I want my joy to remain in you, and I want your joy to be full." As I said, when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he puts his joy in our hearts. We have the joy of the Lord when we come to know Christ as our Savior. But here's the big question. How can his joy remain in us? And how can we have the fullness of his joy? That's what these verses in John are about. He tells us about how that his joy might remain. You know, because if you're a child of God, he has given you his joy. But let me ask you tonight, do you have the joy of the Lord? Are you rejoicing in the Lord tonight? Are you happy in the Lord? I mean, I want you to think about it. No matter what your circumstance, are you happy in the Lord tonight? I know for many Christians, they're not. Many Christians have lost their joy in the Lord, and thereby they have no passion for the Lord. They have no love for the Lord. They, because of their joy, they have stopped serving the Lord with gladness. They have stopped being faithful to the Lord. They have stopped their Bible reading. They've stopped their prayer time. They've stopped in their service and their stewardship of their gift that God had given them to use with joy in ministering to one another. So many Christians have lost their joy. You know, the Bible, that's why Paul tells us, he commands us, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, the key found in these verses in John 15, the key to having Jesus' joy remain in us, the key to having fullness of joy in our Christian lives, the key is one word: obedience. Let's read these verses again. "As the Father had loved me," verse 9, "so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, salvation gives us the joy of the Lord, but obedience keeps us from losing the joy of the Lord. Obedience keeps us from losing the joy of the Lord. You know, I want to give you an example in the Old Testament, if you'll turn with me in Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, in this psalm of confession, when David was confessing his sin of adultery, he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And in this psalm of confession, in this prayer, as he's praying to the Lord, I want you to notice a couple of verses in this psalm. I want you to look with me in verse number 8. He says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." I want to just kind of explain that, and then we're going to look at one more verse. And you know, David was a shepherd of sheep. And whenever a sheep would go astray, and it would continue to do that time and time again, it like habitually would go astray, the shepherd, when he would go and find that lost sheep, he would take his staff and he would break one of the legs of that lamb. And he would take the lamb and he would carry the lamb on his shoulders back to the flock. And he would get back to the flock and he would, until that lamb, until the broken bones would heal, he would nurture that lamb. He would give special care to that lamb. He would carry that lamb to the fields to feed. He would carry that lamb to the still waters to drink. And you know what was taking place? You know, you may think that it was a very cruel thing for the shepherd to break one of the legs of the sheep. But what he was doing was trying to help that wandering sheep. That special care that was given to that lamb caused that lamb to draw near to the shepherd. And you know, when by the time the bones would heal, that sheep would be by the shepherd's side. And you know, the same truth, and when we stray from the Lord, when we wander from the Lord in sin, sometimes the Lord would have to discipline us. Sometimes he has to bring some kind of discipline in our lives. It could take many different forms, but we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord that when we are disciplined of the Lord, let's remember this. The Bible said, "Whom he loves, he chasteneth." You know, he loves us. He loves us so much. I mean, just like a parent loving a child, wanting to correct the child. They don't want to hurt the child. That's not their purpose. There's no parent that takes joy in discipline of their children. It's heartbreaking for a parent, but you do it because you love the child, because you want to help the child. And so David, as he is saying, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Now look at another verse in this psalm, in verse 12. Notice what David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You know, going back to John 15, we said that obedience is the key to keeping the joy of the Lord in our life. When David strayed from the Lord, when he went away from the Lord and went into sin, what happened? He lost his joy. He lost his joy. And now here he is confessing to the Lord in Psalm 51. He's saying, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy Make me to hear joy and gladness and rejoicing. So David, he wanted the Lord to restore his joy. You know, going back to John 15, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments." That's the context. And he says, I tell you these things. I've spoken to these things to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And so joy comes through obedience to Christ, and joy results from obedience to Christ. Without obedience to Christ, there cannot be joy. You know, there's a hymn that we sing, "Trust and Obey," for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There's no other way. If you want to rejoice in the Lord, then you need to walk with the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. If you've lost your joy in the Lord, maybe it's because of sin has crept into your life. Maybe disobedience has crept into your life. Maybe you're not obeying the Lord and you've lost your joy. Your joy is not full. Now, going back to Philippians 4, verse 4, most of you are aware that when Paul wrote Philippians, that he was in a Roman prison suffering for preaching the gospel. You know, Paul was in some pretty difficult circumstances. Things were not going very well, humanly speaking, for the Apostle Paul. But if you read the letter to the church at Philippi, you're going to find a theme of joy throughout the letter. And so when Paul writes these words, these are not empty words. These are words that he lived and practiced in his own Christian life. Paul had a joy of the Lord in spite of his circumstances. It wasn't just some kind of sunny optimism. It wasn't just some kind of positive mental attitude that he had. But what he had was joy in the Lord. It was based in his relationship in the Lord. Notice he said, "Rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. You know, the Christian life is a matter of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And it's lived in the atmosphere of his presence and his enabling grace. And so what he's saying is, rejoice in the Lord, in his presence, in that relationship you have in the Lord. And so Paul, he chose in his life, in the midst of all the difficulties he went through, in the sufferings and that he went through for the cause of Christ, he chose to rejoice. He chose to trust the Lord and his plan for his life. You know, the adverb in that verse, Philippians 4:4, the verb is rejoice. It's imperative. It's used twice. But the adverb found here is always. He tells us how are we to rejoice? Always. At all times. That's how we're to rejoice. Always. And that's why I call it daily rejoicing. Daily rejoicing. And I call it a spiritual discipline because, remember, the spiritual disciplines are those exercises that we do on a regular basis, a daily basis, that help feed our passion for Christ. If we neglect these things, our passion for the Lord, our love for the Lord is going to become cold. And I go back to the illustration. If you have a fire, and that fire is left alone, over time, that fire is going to die down. If you just neglect that fire completely, it's going to die and become cold. To keep the fire going, you have to feed it. You have to put some more wood in the fire. You have to fan the flames. You know, sometimes you can add some wood and the fire's still kind of dying down. You have to go over there and give it a little bit of fanning that fire a little bit. Get it going again. And that's what we have to do in our Christian life, because listen, the passion for the Lord, the love for the Lord is something that we have to work at. You know, most of us would say, oh, I love the Lord, and I'm sure you do, and I do. But as we walk through this life, our love can grow cold. Our love for the Lord can be replaced by other things. And so to keep that love and that passion for God, we have to practice some things on a daily basis to keep that fire burning. And this is one of those things we need to do daily. We need to make it our practice to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to look in James chapter 1 and notice what James tells us. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, the temptations here is talking about tribulations, trials, hardships. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So he says, count it all joy. So when you go through hard times, what do? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that we belong to Him. Rejoice that He is in control. Rejoice that our Savior knows and understands, and that we can take our burdens to Him and let Him know about our sufferings and our burdens. You know, I want to just say that if you do not practice rejoicing in the Lord on a regular basis, here's what's going to happen. These other spiritual disciplines are going to become drudgery. They're going to become routine. They're going to just become lifeless. You're going to get in your Bible reading, and it's not going to be what it should be. It's not going to be like a feast. It's not going to be something that rejoices your heart. It's just going to be dull. When we come to church, if we're not rejoicing in the Lord, if we're downcast in our spirits, we're not going to serve the Lord with all of our hearts when we come here. We're not going to have that serving the Lord with gladness that the Bible tells us to have. It's very, very important in our Christian life that we rejoice in the Lord. Very, very important. Life is tough. Life throws us some curveballs. There are some hard times we go through. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord understands that. But we are not to stay in those moments of sorrow and depression. You know, I like Psalm 30 and verse 5. He said, for His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, there's times in life that we're going to be down in the dumps. There's times in life where a Christian, even a godly, good Christian, will be depressed, despondent, discouraged. It happens to all of us. It happens to me. It happens to you. We're all going to have those things. It's part of life. But the important thing is not to stay down in the dumps, because that's where Satan wants you to be. And as long as we stay down in the dumps of depression and despondency and discouragement, we're not going to be of much use to the Lord and to His work. Very, very important. We practice this discipline. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. There's another scripture I want to look at before we close tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. In the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 8, in verse number 10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. Without the joy of the Lord, we're not going to have the strength to serve Him. We're not going to continue very long in anything that we do without joy. Joy is vital. Joy is important. You know, I think about mothers who are carrying child. I have one tonight. You know, go through all kinds of different emotions through those times of pregnancy. Toward the end, it gets difficult. And you say, "Pastor, how do you know?" Well, because my wife had 5 children. I don't know physically how it feels, but I've seen her, you know, hurt, and I've seen her long for that day. But it's the joy that gives them the strength, the joy of that child that's going to be born. You know, Jesus, He endured the cross, Hebrews tells us, because of the joy that was set down before Him. You know, we're going to give up on these spiritual disciplines that we've talked about so far if we don't have the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is what gives us strength. The joy of the Lord is what strengthens us to keep on keeping on for the Lord, to be faithful to the Lord. You know, joy is also mentioned in the scripture in Galatians 5:22 as the fruit of the Spirit. You know, as long as we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to have joy in the Lord. But if we're walking in the flesh, we're going to respond to the trials that come our way, the difficulties that come our way, we're going to respond with the wrong perspective. We're going to worry. We're going to complain. We're going to become bitter. We're going to become hopeless. Our mind's going to be filled with wrong thoughts about God. We're going to be thinking God must not really care about me. God must be out to punish me. God is not really going to answer my prayers. We stop believing God's promises. We stop resting in the Lord. You know, it's very important, you know, we practice this. And, you know, if we had time, you could go through the rest of this chapter in chapter 4 of Philippians. And you can see some very important principles. If we've lost the joy of the Lord, if we're not rejoicing in the Lord and we don't have that joy in the Lord, we need to start taking a spiritual evaluation. Is there sin in my life? Lord, is there some kind of sin in my life? And that goes back to the discipline of confession. It's important that we confess our sins. Why? So we can keep the joy of the Lord. So we can have strength in the Lord. Is there unbelief? Is there worry in my heart? You know, verse 6 in Philippians, be careful for nothing. You know, we can be so full of care and anxiety and worry that we lose our joy. It just steals our joy. And then the verse number 8 where he talks about think on these things. And he talks about the things that we should think on, things that are true and honest and just and pure and whatsoever things are lovely and of good report and so on. You know, the importance of our thought life. Maybe we've lost our joy because of sin. Maybe unbelief or worry has come into our life. Maybe there's some wrong thoughts that we keep dwelling on. And these thoughts we keep dwelling on are stealing our joy. Paul gives us the answers on how to get our joy back. Think on right things. Take your burdens to the Lord. Don't worry about these things. Just go to the Lord. Let your requests be made known to Him. You know, in Philippians 4, 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Maybe there's some disobedience in our life. We're not doing what we've been taught to do. We're not doing what the Lord has told us to do. He said, do these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, it's my prayer that each and every one of us here, as God's people, that we would remember the joy that the Lord's given to us and to keep that joy through obedience to Him, through our walk with Him, that we might have fullness of joy. Like Peter said in his first epistle, he said, whom having not seen, in verse 8, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's my prayer, that each of us would rejoice in the Lord with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Would you stand with me tonight? We're going to have prayer, have a time of invitation, a time to talk to the Lord about this area in our life. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never experienced the joy of the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you do not know for sure if you were to die today that heaven would be your home. Maybe you don't know tonight the joy of the Lord. You've never experienced the joy of salvation, of knowing for sure that you're saved by trusting Jesus Christ. If you're like that tonight, you don't have the joy of the Lord, I would encourage you to step out and come. We would love to talk to you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to show you in the Bible how you can have the joy of the Lord through salvation in Christ. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian tonight and you've just been struggling. Life has been tough and you've been having a difficult time and it's been hard to rejoice. Take a spiritual evaluation tonight. Ask the Lord to show you if there's some sin in your life that you need to confess and forsake. Maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's something like worry. Maybe you're just worried about something. You're worried about the future. You're worried about some burden in your life. Would you just take that burden to the Lord tonight? Like Paul tells us, just take it to Him. Let your request be made known to God. Maybe it's some thoughts that just keep dominating your thought life that are just stealing your joy. Would you tonight just say, Lord, help me to think on those things that are good, those things that are pure. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, you'd use your word, use these truths tonight to speak to hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the courage of singing.